Good afternoon and welcome to Citizens June 18, 2019 Finance and Investment Committee meeting. This committee meeting is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register and is recorded with transcribed minutes available on our website. Please do not place this call on hold. Press star 6 to mute your line and pound 6 to unmute your mind. We will convene with roll call for quorum. Chairman Aubuchon. Governor Brown?
Here.
Governor Dunbar? Chairman, you have a quorum, and we will try to reach out to him.
So is Dan Sumner here by chance? No. So from a rules perspective, if there's only two of us, how do we get a motion maker in a second?
Under Robert's Rules of Order, if you have a quorum, it is possible for the chair to make a motion and to second motions. If that is needed.
Thank you very much, Dan. Appreciate that. So we'll go ahead and take care of the easy business while we're waiting for Governor Dunbar, and that is approval of the prior meeting's minutes.
Move to approve.
Second. Any discussion on the minutes? Any objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, let's show that motion is approved, and I'll recognize Kapil Bhatia for a market update. Welcome, Kapil. You are recognized to give your market update.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members. I'm not sure if I really have... Governor Dunbar, can you hear me okay?
You'll be on in about another minute.
Great. So I'll be very brief, and I'm not sure much has changed from the market perspective. But please interrupt me at any point of time if you have any questions. There are currently...
Mark Dunbar's on.
Welcome, Governor Dunbar.
Governor Dunbar, can you hear me okay? This is Kapil Bhatia from Raymond James.
Yes, I can, Kapil. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. There are currently 5.9 million people unemployed, or the unemployment rate is 3.6%. However, the labor participation rate is 62.8% of the total civilian labor force, which is relatively very low compared to the historical standard. The highest labor participation rate was 67.2% almost 22 years ago. The U6 unemployment rate, which includes persons marginally attached to the labor force or part-time workers who are looking for a full-time job, is 7.1%. If we go through all of the number and add up what's really available to join the labor force, which is the unemployed people, as well as the labor force participation people, as well as the difference between U6 and U3, that translated into approximately 8 million people still available to join the labor force. And that's really what's keeping the wage pressure or the wage growth low, and the wages are not rising as much as everybody would expect when the unemployment rate is 3.6%. The Fed has increased rates 10 times since December of 2015, which is 1 to 2 times more than what they should have done, as we talked about in December and March. Suddenly, December rate increase was a mistake, and Fed is now currently on a hold. We don't expect Fed to change rates 2 o'clock tomorrow, but most likely in July or September, they will reduce it. So we expect at least one rate cut this year, and most likely two. However, we also expect Fed to change its language to prepare the market. They will take the word patience out and send a message to the market they are ready to cut in July. And that's one of the reasons they will not do it tomorrow. The Fed expects the economy to grow at the rate of 2.1%. However, with the Fed rate cut, we expect the economy to grow at the rate of 2.3%. That additional rate cut or cuts will increase the economic growth by almost 20 basis points or 2.3%. which is still lower than where we were last year at 3%, however, significantly above where the rest of the world is. In addition, Fed is going to stop shrinking its balance sheet, and currently, which is at $4.5 trillion, and it's going to be stabilized at $3.5 trillion, which reflects almost the same number where we were before the financial crisis in relative value, not in absolute value. In relative value, it was $2.2 trillion. Today, it will be $3.5 trillion. However, as our GDP has grown, it's around 15% of our GDP. That's really where the $3.5 trillion comes from. At its peak, it was at $4.5 trillion in 2015. Year-to-date, S&P is up almost 16%. Dow Jones is up 13%. But on the other side, 5- and 10-year treasuries down approximately 100 basis points each, and that reflects the slowdown in the global economy as well as U.S. economy. U.S. interest rates are still very low from a historical perspective, but significantly above where we were 3 years ago, and 3 years was the bottom point where we were. So 5-year treasury rates have increased by almost 100 basis points, and 10-year by almost 75 basis points. We expect rates to remain where they are when it comes to the long term, whether it's a 5-year, 10-year, or 30 years. Global interest rates are low and expected to remain low. Some of the countries still have negative yields up to 10 years, and that includes Germany, Denmark, and Netherlands in Europe, and certainly Japan, which has negative rates for almost 10 years now. The European Union is trying everything from a monetary policy perspective, including the statement today from ECB. However, there is no hope because monetary policy really cannot do what needs to be done in Europe, which is a different demographic population as more and more people are aging, and they don't really have a fiscal policy, and we don't expect them to have a fiscal policy because it's not just one nation, and they can come up with a one tax structure or one fiscal policy. And that means from a currency perspective, some countries have advantage over the other countries, and it's unlikely ECB is going to change its stance or that European growth is going to be any different than where we are today. Japanese and Chinese economy is slow. China is expected to be another Japan in 20 years, so regardless of the trade wars and everything else, their growth is low and expected to remain low, and with the trade wars, it may be a bigger problem than what we all expect. And lastly, from the reinsurance markets, risk transfer markets are stable. There is still abundance of capital. One of the reasons is, again, emphasizing the fact low interest rates, so people are looking for diversification. The reinsurers tried really hard in 2019 to increase the rates, especially in the Florida market, and they were successful to some extent to charge for the risk premium. The rate increase was around 10 to 20% on an average. And if you pick the middle point, most likely everybody paid around 15% more, with some exceptions. And largely, some of the larger Florida-based insurers also increased their risk transfer program, but not in the traditional market, but because of the rate increases, they increased their participation in the CAC fund from 45% to 90%, and that reduced their overall weighted average, or at least kept them at the same level where they were last year. The overall weighted capital participation in the CAT fund is 81.6% compared to 73.5% last year. So more or less all of the bigger insurance companies are participating at a much larger rate in the Florida Hurricane Catastrophe Fund to reflect the increase in reinsurance rate. With that, I'll stop to see if you have any questions or comments.
Thank you, Kapil. Any questions? Okay. Thank you for your report.
Thank you.
And now behind tab 3 is our risk transfer program update, and I'd like to recognize Jennifer Montero.
Thank you. Behind tab 3, you'll find an executive summary and the layer charts, and I will go over the executive summary and walk you through the layer charts. So following the approval at the May 18th board teleconference, Citizens Reinsurance Team went out to the market with the firm order terms for the coastal account. Relative to prior years, the market is hardening, as Kapil just mentioned, with authorizations from reinsurers that came in at a much slower rate than in the past. Although our pricing was aggressive, we believed that the pricing offered by Citizens properly reflected Citizens' risk profile and position in the market. A total of 25 markets participated on our program this year, including 4 new markets and 9 markets from last year that chose not to participate. Citizens transferred approximately $1.27 billion of risk to the global reinsurance and capital markets for the coastal account, which includes $880 million of risk transfer that carried over from 2017 and 18 that remains in place for this season. The total amount of surplus exposed in a 1-in-100-year event in the coastal account is approximately 28%. So if you will refer to the layer charts, page 2. Thank you. The final 2019 risk transfer layers for the coastal account are as follows. Layer 1 of the program, the sliver layer, covers $100 million in excess of $393 million of personal residential and commercial residential losses and works in tandem with the mandatory coverage provided by the Florida Hurricane Catastrophe Fund to include the copayment of the 10% of losses not covered by the CAT Fund. This layer was placed at 100% or $100 million at a rate online of 11.5%. Layer 2 of the program, the top layer, covers $239.65 million or 68.47% of annual aggregate personal residential and commercial residential losses and will attach after $493 million of losses. This layer was placed at a rate online of 5.5%. If you'll turn to page 3, thank you. The third layer of the program provides approximately $53.25 million of coverage for commercial non-residential losses not covered by other layers of the program in which Citizens has no FHCF coverage. This layer was placed at 25% of the total layer of $213 million at a rate online of 8%. This layer was oversubscribed as we received 34.29% or $72.8 million in authorizations. All three of these layers provide single-year coverage. If you'll turn to page 4 of the layer chart, thank you. To ensure the success with the coastal account placement, we waited until we received authorizations on the majority of the coastal account program before going to the market with FOTs for the personal lines account. This is the first time since 2005 that Citizens has purchased reinsurance in the personal lines account. Prior to the placement, the PLA exposed 63% of its surplus for a 1 in 100 year event. Citizens' strategic risk transfer plan for the PLA transfers $176.5 million of risk alongside and above the CAT fund, which will reduce the amount of surplus exposed in a 1 in 100 year event to approximately 58%. This wrap layer in the PLA covers $176.5 million or 88.25% of the total $200 million in excess of $415 million of personal residential and commercial residential losses and works in tandem with the mandatory coverage provided by the FHCF to include the copayment of the 10% of losses not covered by the FHCF. This layer is a per occurrence and provides single-year coverage. It was placed at a rate online of 11.25%. The total 2019 risk transfer program, combining the PLA and the coastal placements, has approximately $1.45 billion of coverage, with total costs, including the multi-year layers, of approximately $94.9 million, with a weighted average rate online of 6.55%. And I will pause there for any questions.
Thank you, Jennifer. Members, any questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And now I believe you're going to give us an investment portfolio update.
Yes, behind tab 4. And this is the summary. As you know, we also have the appendix in there that gives us a lot more detail. On slide 1 of the summary, the total portfolio is $9.32 billion. With approximately $8.42 billion, or 90% of it is externally managed by 10 investment managers. The remaining $0.9 billion is internally managed, primarily consisting of operating funds, debt service funds, and debt service reserve funds. The taxable portfolio is $7.67 billion. The tax-exempt portfolio is approximately $1.65 billion. The total portfolio average duration is marginally over 3.8 years, with 6% maturing in less than 90 days, an additional 6% maturing between 90 days and 1 year, and 25% maturing between 1 and 3 years. Total portfolio, total portfolio return for 1 year is 4.92% and 2.85%, respectively. On slide 2, the interest rates for treasuries increased in 2018, but has significantly decreased over the last 5 months. And now the yield curve is inverted between 3 months and 5 years by approximately 37 basis points, and between 3 months and 10 years by approximately 13 basis points. The tax exempt rates have also decreased over the last 5 months or since the beginning of 2019. on slide three, the taxable and tax-exempt portfolios both have very strong credit quality. 88% of the tax-exempt portfolio is in money market funds or rated AA or higher, and approximately 81% of taxable portfolio is in money market funds or rated A or higher. Over 29% of the portfolio is in Treasury and agency securities. And finally, on slide four, the portfolio annual return summary, 2.85% of income return over the last 12 months, and 2.49% of annual income return over the last 2 years. And that concludes my report, unless there are any questions.
Members, any questions of Jennifer?
This is Mark. I just have one question.
You're recognized.
Jennifer, we talked about this yesterday, but the in the appendix, the downgraded securities that we talked about, can you just give an overview of sort of, you know, where we find ourselves? And also, you know, I didn't know whether to bring the question up at the last meeting or this meeting, but the fact that the auditors classified the holdings that are listed on page 11 of the PowerPoint in this versus the audit report, it shows them as classified as NAIC 6. I'm just curious why the auditors would classify them as defaulting and not performing, but we are carrying the note that they're still performing. Has something changed from the audit last year, or have we confirmed that these downgraded securities are in fact continuing to pay principal and interest, because the NAIC classification from the auditors would suggest otherwise?
Yes, okay, so this is on the last page of the appendix, page 7. These are our legacy assets. These are the securities that were downgraded after the financial crisis of 07 and 08. We did come to the FIC a couple of years ago and got permission to sell them if we could get a certain range, and we were able to get rid of, well, sell two of them. But we kept the issuer entity, Automo and Axon, because we couldn't at the time sell them in that range. So, Governor Dunbar, to your point, and I think the auditors have left, but these are rated D. They are performing. We are getting interest and principal on them. And they're bonds, so the longer we hold them, the closer to, you know, they get closer and closer to maturity. But I believe that because they only have one rating by S&P and it's a D, which is why the NAIC guidelines would have them as a 5 or a 6 if they're not where they should be as far as their rating. And Koppel has some more to add to this.
Governor Dunbar, one of the reasons NAIC rates as Category 6 because they are not very liquid in the marketplace, and because they defaulted, as you can see, they are not rated. So if we try to look on a Bloomberg, you will not find a tradable security because it's not widely held. It's much smaller. But as it's controlled by a trustee and as the cash flow comes in, and these are all asset-backed commercial paper, as the revenue or payment comes from old mortgages or bank foreclosures, or as the individuals are selling it now as the real estate market has recovered, all of those flows into the trust by under the documents, and then we get a portion of it. So if you look at the footnote 2 on that one, there was a huge write-down. However, the current write-down is significantly smaller. So if we want to sell it, we can, but it takes a little bit of effort and energy, and we need to get a market pricing. So we need to do a little bit more work, and we plan to come back to you. Jennifer and I have talked about it a lot, and we plan to come back to you in September. But because it's not liquid, that's why it's rated as NAIC 6.
Got it. Thank you very much for that clarification. I appreciate it, both of you.
Great. Thank you.
Further questions? Okay. Thank you very much for your presentation. Behind tab 5 for information is info on DFOP and clearinghouse. Are there any questions for Steve Bitar? Hearing no questions, is there any new business to come before the committee? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion and a second. Show that motion is approved without objection. We are adjourned. Thank you.